So good stuff. I always like thinking about this every time we have Lord's Supper, and about what Jesus told his disciples when they were having the Last Supper together in the upper room. And he said to them that he wasn't going to drink of the fruit of the vine again until he drank it with them in their kingdom, in his kingdom. And so that means this, he's waiting on us too. Amen. Can you imagine that great banquet feast is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb? Man, it's going to be phenomenal. And sitting and having a meal with all the saints from all the ages, with Jesus at the head of the table. And you talk about a good time. And heaven's going to be fun. Amen. I'm just telling you. And it's going to be something beyond our wildest imaginations. And I can't wait to get there, but I also want to make sure I finish my race strong. Amen. And it's going to make heaven all the much sweeter if we'll finish right, finish strong. And so, good stuff. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to start at. And tonight we're going to finish up some truths about stewardship. We've taken the month of January and looked at some stewardship principles. And we've looked at our responsibilities as Christians as being good stewards. And again, that's kind of part of this whole finishing our race, right, is to be good stewards of the things God gives us. And so tonight I'm just going to give you just some few principles to kind of just tie this series up a little bit about stewardship. So if you find your place, stand with me. Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 42. And read down to verse 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. The Bible says this, and the Lord said, "Then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give him their portion of meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he's not aware of, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray. Lord, again, meet with us tonight. Bless us, Lord. Bless the preaching and teaching of your word. And God, as we examine this subject of stewardship, once again, I pray you speak to us. Help us. Help us to understand, Lord, that we're stewards of everything you give us. And Lord, help us to our desire to be good stewards. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm not going to go back and spend any time reviewing. But we've covered several things the last few weeks. If you you missed those, you can go to our church website. Those will be uploaded to those. If they're not already, they will be fairly soon. Go to really the best way to catch up on stuff. If you go to our church Facebook page, all the sermons are live streamed on there. It's pretty easy to navigate and find the message. But we also have it on our website. Also, messages are available on sermonaudio.com. You can go there as well. Just type in my name and sermons will pop up. But I would just encourage you to, if you missed any of the messages on stewardship, to go back and look at those and listen to those and let the Lord to help you with that area. So that kind of ties up this subject of stewardship. And particularly, we're talking about the things God, the material things He gives us in this life. He blesses us with this in this life. And, you know, sometimes, you maybe heard of, they may call them financial freedom seminars or something along those lines. But really, you don't have to, you know, pay Dave Ramsey a bunch of money to learn this stuff. Amen. Right. I'm not against that if you want to do his stuff, whatever. But the Bible teaches you that stuff. In fact, a lot of that stuff is based upon Bible principles anyway. Amen. Right. By the way, that's why it works, because it's based on Bible principles. Right. And so God gives it to you right here in His Word. And but if you really want some more things in depth, you can talk to me. I got some things that I can give you. Let's look right into this tonight, okay? So the last final principles on stewardship. Number one, let's look at this. If we're struggling financially, if we're trying to figure this thing out when it comes to stewardship, we need to re-examine our work ethic and the job that we have. Okay, now last week we talked about the value of labor and how that God, His purpose, the way He's planned for us to have materialistic things. And remember this, folks, money is simply a tool. That's all it is, okay? Money, you're not good or bad based upon whether or not you do or don't have money. Money's just a tool. But it is important that we handle it properly. And God's method for us to have materialistic things is labor. And so it's important that we are involved in labor, those that can labor. Now, again, a lot of folks here, or should I say not a lot, but some, you're past retirement, you're into the retirement years. And by the way, the reason now you can enjoy retirement is because you've labored and laid up for the future. And by the way, that's smart. That's what you ought to do. Amen. And so, but those that aren't there yet and that work, labor is the way to do that. So if you're struggling, if you're having some difficulties in this area of finances, re-examine your work ethic and look at the job you have now. For example, ask yourself this question. Are you faithful to go to work every day? Amen? And are you faithful to go to work every day? Hey, when you're at work, do you work hard? Hey, do you give your boss an honest day's work? Just talking to some folks before the service and talking about how crazy it is. People sometimes work harder at being dishonest or work harder at getting out of work than they do actually working. Amen? And if they would just apply, you know, all these scammers out there that their full-time job is to scam people out of money, if they would just apply that same work ethic to make an honest day's living, you'd be surprised how much better they could do for themselves, or at least do it in an honest way. Amen? And so ask yourself, is there any way to increase my income where I work now? Is it time to ask for a raise? By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. You've been out of place for so long, and all places are different. Sometimes when you hire in, they tell you what the regimen is as far as a raise goes. But if that hasn't been the case, now listen, you've been there for a little bit. Don't be afraid to ask. The worst thing they can say is no, right? And so ask. Is there a movement within your company to be more into a more profitable position? And again, this comes with hard work. Should I consider another job entirely? Would additional training or education help me increase my hourly worth? These are all things that are right and proper to ask yourself. Because here's the thing, folks, all right? If you're given X amount of hours and you're earning X amount of dollars, wouldn't you want to earn as much as possible in those hours? I mean, come on, listen. If I'd rather make more per hour if I'm working hourly than I would less. Doesn't that just make sense? I mean, come on. We're trying to maximize our time. Listen, there's only so many hours in the week, okay? And so ask yourself these questions and see if that is a possibility within your own job that you have now. And so re-examine those things. Look at those things. Look at those things with the fresh eyes. Ask God to give you wisdom as you look at those things. Number two, how about this? Develop diligent thinking and consider possible paths of passive income. Now listen, folks, this is just really, truth be told, kind of what America is built upon as far as this idea of thinking and I guess we could use the word invent. That's been a lot in the past, but maybe some in the present now. But ways, do you have skills that can increase your income by broadening their application within your business? Can you branch into related business that would increase earning potential or work that you're already doing? Should you go into business for yourself instead of working for somebody else? Is your savings earning you money? How can you maximize that? Do you possess now, or could you produce or develop something that could be copyrighted or patented? Is it marketable? Could you profit or could you profitably market what it is you are thinking about or what? And I have no idea. I don't know what your skill set is, but there's been some people that have found out that they can write, and they've written, and they've taken that, they've profited that, or turned that where they've written books and profited all that. I'm not saying that's for everybody. I get all that. I mean, listen, by the way, I know some authors, and here's what they tell you. Writing is hard work. Not just a matter of sitting down and putting some things on a piece of paper and expect it to get published. That is not the way it works. Right. That's hard work to be a good writer. But again, you know what? That's a way to develop a passive income. How about this? Look, do you have an opportunity to make money as a middleman? What is the demand? Could you become a supplier? Is it financially feasible? I just talked to someone this week, and they as a side business, they buy, and a lot of this is done online, but there's websites that you can get on. And again, you got to be careful. I get all that, okay? You got to do your homework. You got to pay attention. Where they companies sell storage units that have been abandoned. And this person buys storage units and bids on them and then can go and whatever's there that belongs to them. And it was telling me about a lot of profit that's been made by buying things. This is the story they told me, that they bought a storage unit. And from the picture, it looked like it had some clothes in it. And they were in need of some of those things. So pay $20 for a storage unit that looked like it just had a bunch of clothes in it. Well, when they got there, what they found under the clothes was a lot of things that was very valuable. They ended up finding things that ended up valuing over $3,000. So they spent $20 and made over $3,000. That's a pretty good investment. Now, I get it, folks. Not everything's like that, okay? And I'm telling you some things that are not the rule but the exception. But all that to say, I mean, listen, folks, truth be told, in this digital age we live in, and with what can be accomplished through the internet, and again, I'm saying use caution. But listen, if you got a mind to work hard, I mean, come on, eBay, okay? I know people, some family members and some friends of the family that, as a side deal, the ladies of the family, they go to yard sales, they purchase things, they research, figure out what things are worth, and turn a good profit just selling stuff on eBay. And so all I'm saying is there's ways out there, okay? You just got to think. You got to have some creative resourcefulness and to see if there's some things that you could possibly be involved with. Do you own property? Could you rent or lease? Can you flip a piece of property? Do you sue? Are there profits that can be made that can benefit when you invest your time in those areas? And again, the real estate market, if you're able to get into the real estate market, it seems to be a pretty safe investment because there's tangible property involved in that, okay? And so these are all things, folks, that if you ask God to give you wisdom and you can think a little bit and you can be smart, you could be involved with some of this. Now listen, I'm not saying this is for everybody. I'm not even saying you ought to do any of this. I'm just saying you ought to start thinking a little bit, okay? We have folks in the church right now, and because of technology and because people are lazy, there is a business that's called DoorDash. And you know what? Truth be told, people will pay you to bring stuff to their doorstep. And you know what? People right here in this room, people in this church are making good money, okay, profiting by just within a local area here, delivering people, you know, McDonald's and Wendy's and all that other stuff and other things, there's other things about it, but literally doing pretty good with that. And so all I'm saying is this, if you're willing to work hard, don't tell me there's not opportunity. Listen, we're living in America, the land of opportunity. Amen? And so these are things that you can think about if you need to increase. Number three, are you praying over your finances and getting God involved and helping you solve your dilemma? Okay? Now listen, folks, God ought to be involved in everything we do as Christians. Okay? So that's why, as Christians, we ought to pray for financial wisdom. Amen? Mm-hmm. Ask God to give you the wisdom how to handle properly the things He gives you. Pray for strength to labor. Right? Remember we talked about the main way that you're going to gain your resources is through labor. Ask God for strength. By the way, every day you get up out of bed and go to work, that's a gift from God. Amen? Mm-hmm. I know people that would do anything possible if they could still get up and go to work, but they can't anymore. I know the story of a man who was a Christian, and he got injured and couldn't go to work, and it devastated him so much that he ended up taking his own life. Now, listen, that's an extreme case. I get all that. But listen, why was it? Because all he wanted to do was go to work and couldn't go to work anymore. And God made man to work. Now, I'm not saying that was the right reason. I don't think there's ever a right reason for someone to take their own life. All I'm saying is this. Thank God every day for the strength to labor. Amen. Pray for, how about this? Been there, done that. Pray for mercy regarding past financial mistakes. Amen. And by the way, you know, I get it. We reap what we sow. But you know what God can also do? Cause crop failure. Amen. Let me tell you, if God sees, and we'll get to that in just a second, but if we're doing our part, you'd be amazing what God would do to step in and help us out. Hey, what is one of God's greatest attributes? Mercy. Amen. Listen, I don't know about you. I'm glad I've experienced the mercy of God in my life. I need His mercy. By the way, not just mercy, but grace. Right? Giving us what we don't deserve. And listen, I do believe the main application for that is the things when it comes to the spiritual realm. But let me say this, a lot of things in the physical realm as well. Amen? We don't deserve the good things God does for us. And so pray for God to give you, to show you mercy regarding past financial mistakes. How about this? Pray for an abundance to help you attain financial freedom. Pray for creative resourcefulness. Pray for contentment. Examine the scripture and examine your life for things that maybe could hinder your ability to get your prayers answered. Okay? I mean, all these things, folks, are Bible principles when it comes to this thing of being a good steward. How about this? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Review your giving in light of the scriptures. Remember this, okay? The Bible tells us this, that God, if we do not give God what belongs to Him, that He will not rebuke the devourer. And truth be told, the reason some Christians are facing financial difficulties is because they're not obeying the Scripture. They're not giving their tithes and offerings every week. They're not giving to missions. They're not giving to a building fund. They're not, as God gives you opportunities, helping people who are less fortunate, okay, and helping your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember this, folks. Part of the reason God gives you things, gives you resources, blesses you, isn't necessary just for you. Maybe He wants to funnel through you to help somebody else. Amen? And listen, God knows who He can trust. And by the way, you know what I found out about God? As God funnels through you to help other people, God allows you to keep a portion of what funnels through you. I mean, if you're the Bible reading, I'm right now in the book of Joshua. And pretty interesting that when God sent Israel into the promised land, the first city they came to was Jericho. I don't know the story. The walls came tumbling down. What was the command? Don't take anything. Don't touch it or don't keep nothing for yourself. Everything that is of a tangible value, by the way, it was God's. You know why? It was the first fruits.
That's right. Yes,
sir. By the way, the first always belongs to God.
Amen.
And this principle of giving the first to God isn't something new that we just, you know, come up with in our day and age. No, it's all throughout the Scripture. But then later on, okay, and man, you start reading it. After Jericho, God says, have at it. It's all yours. And He told him how it was to be divided up, who was to be taken care of with it. And by the way, Israel at that point through that conquest became very, very wealthy. You know why? Because they followed God's plan. Now listen, again, this is not some prosperity gospel preaching. I'm not telling you that, you know, if you drop a tithe plate in the offering and give the missions, God will make you a millionaire. I'm not telling you that whatsoever. But I will say this, you'll experience God's blessings. And I'll say this, if you're not doing it, you'll experience God's curse upon your finances. Amen? So review your giving in light of Scripture. How about this? Pay for necessities before purchasing wants. You ought to be an adult when it comes to spending your money. Amen? You know what that means? You got to pay your bills first. That's what that means. That's what adults do. They pay their bills and take care of what needs to be taken care of. Separate needs from wants. If you're struggling, eliminate all the bills that you can that are not necessities. Look at the bills you have and ask yourself the question, how can this bill be reduced? You know, it's amazing sometimes that if you're not careful, certain things, they'll just increase bills that if you're not paying attention, you just pay without thinking. Let me tell you what industry is notorious of that, is insurance industry. Okay, now, I've been with so-and-so for 40 years. Okay, that may be, but how much of your money has so-and-so taken over the last 40 years you didn't really need to pay him? Okay, and so I don't want to just say just in that, but there's other things. Okay, I always give here's the great illustration I always give. Okay, when we first bought our vehicle 7 years ago, our Durango, it came with a subscription to XM Radio. Okay, and we were traveling, and it was like 3-6 months. Well, once the month was up, they want to charge me like, you know, $25 a month for satellite radio. So I call them up and say, I want to cancel the subscription. Well, why do you want to cancel it? Because I don't need it. I ain't paying you $25 a month for something I don't use that often. They're like, well, what about $10 a month? Would you pay $10 a month? I said, I'll tell you what. And I had a buddy tip me off on this. I said, I'll tell you what, you give it to me for $5 a month, I'll keep it. They said, okay, we'll give it to you for $5 a month. And so all that to say, now not every place is like that, I get all that, but you know what, you'd be surprised. Listen, it doesn't hurt to ask. What's the least thing they could say? No, right? And so, it's important, though, to look at your outgo and see if there's a way to keep that as little as possible when you go to what you're spending. Consider raising deductibles on your insurance. It's important to have enough life insurance to pay off debt and take care of your family should you be taken. All these things are just smart ways of taking care of things. How about this? Number six, get God involved in guiding you as you manage and distribute the abundance God's provided. Listen, get God involved in that. Give tithes and offerings and on all unexpected abundance. Always give God the first fruits. Amen. Seek the Lord's direction when distributing abundance. You ought to take part of that abundance and pay off past mistakes. Do the best you can to get debt free as quick as possible. And it's important to do that. Now look, I get it. I understand. Okay. Some things in life you got to borrow for. It would be nice. I wish I had, the amount of money I needed to pay cash for my house and build my house. That's not a reality. Okay. I wish I had, the cash to pay for my vehicle brand new. That's not necessarily reality for most people. But for some people it is. If you can, you ought to. But for most people, you're going to have some debts that you assume. But be smart about it. Amen? And try to get it paid off as quick and as easy as possible. And by the way, here's what you're going to find out. If you will manage the abundance properly, you know what you find out? Here's what I love about God. He loves His children. By the way, He spoils us.
Amen.
Don't you like spoiling your kids? I mean, come on, let's just be honest. There's not a parent in here that doesn't, unexpectedly like doing something, things for your children that they're not expecting. Or doing something that you're going to say, hey, we're going to do this, and something that's going to make your family happy. Listen, that's normal, that's right. As a parent, you get joy in that. Where do you think that idea comes from? It comes from our Heavenly Father. Amen? Listen, God loves spoiling His kids. And let me tell you, folks, God is very good at spoiling us. But you know what? We ought to then make sure we're obeying God. Because I'll tell you right now, God won't spoil you if you're living a disobedient life. Amen? Live an obedient life and ask God to help you, give you the wisdom to manage things properly. You're going to find out you'd be amazed at all that God would do for you. Number next is this. It's important, again, to pay back the debt you're in, list the debt, and target the smallest amount and start working up from there. Okay, let me tell you the wisest way to handle debt, okay? Not the shotgun approach, but the rifle approach, okay? I love analogizing things to firearms, okay? Shotgun is a little scattered around, okay? Well, sometimes you got to do that to maintain, but let's just say, for example, let's just throw a scenario out here, okay? Let's say that you have three credit cards that you owe to, okay? Let's say you owe $5,000, $3,000, $1,000, okay? And now, again, you got to be careful because sometimes interest can get a little weird on some of that stuff. What you want to do, let's say, let's just throw this scenario out there. You're paying the same interest rate on all three, okay? Let's just say, credit cards can be pretty high interest. Let's just throw the number 10% out there, okay? All three, 10%. You have a $5,000 debt, $3,000 debt, $1,000 debt. Well, instead of paying $50 a month to $1,000, $3,000, $5,000, pay any extra you can to the $1,000. Get it paid off. Once it's paid off, all that you were paying to that, throw it to the next one. And then once that's paid off, take all that you were paying to those first two and throw it to the third one. And you'd be surprised how quickly you can get things paid off. That's the proper approach to paying debt off. By the way, that right there, financial gurus charge people thousands of dollars to hear what I just said to you. Amen? And they're going to patch it different. They're going to say it different. But when it all boils down to it, that's pretty much what it is. Okay? And so use that philosophy to pay back borrowed money. How about this? Eliminate unwise check items before purchasing. Okay? Be smart about your purchases. By the way, not always the least expensive is the right purchase to make. We've all done it, okay? I've been there. I've done it. We've all done it. Oh, that is, X amount of dollars cheaper. I'm going to buy that. And guess what happens after not too long? You find out why it was X amount of dollars cheaper, okay? Listen, not always the cheapest thing's the best thing. Do your homework, amen? Be smart about your purchases. And sometimes it's worth spending a little bit more on quality, amen? On quality as opposed to just saving a little bit up front. By the way, think long term. How much is this going to cost me in the long run? I don't even know if they do it anymore, but if they have coupons, does anybody ever even clip coupons anymore? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. In this digital world, everything's online anymore. Coupons. Listen, look for any way to save money as possible. Look and make sure you know full price before you make a purchase or a commitment. Someone was telling me the other day, they were talking about getting a vacation, and part of the vacation you got to go sit in on a timeshare spill. One of the biggest scams of money is a timeshare. And if you own a timeshare, I'm not trying to offend you, whatever. All right? If you own one, let me know. Maybe we can work something out and we can share it a little bit. But I know this for a fact because I had some family that was involved in it. And here's what they told me. They got out of it because here's the deal, okay? They would say, oh, yeah, you know, for let's just, again, I'm just throwing numbers out. I mean, I don't think it's even a real number. But for $1,000, okay, you pay $1,000 up front, and you can have your pick any of this nice resort anywhere in the United States, and you can go there for two or three full weeks for only $1,000 up front. Well, what you don't realize is then there is not just the up front, then there's the monthly costs. And you've got to pay, and that's what a lot of timeshares do, by the way. They charge you a monthly, what they call a service fee or a maintenance fee. That's what it is, maintenance fee. And here's the crazy thing. The people that I knew that got out of it, they were end up paying like $300-$400 a month on a maintenance fee. And you start adding all that up, plus what they paid up front, they weren't even coming close to spending that much on a vacation in a year. And so all I have to say, you got to be smart, okay? And again, in this world we're living in, folks, people work very hard at figuring out a way to con people out of money, make something appear one way, but at the end, it's really not that way. Always check out the fine print, right? If you're going to sign a contract or sign something. But eliminate unwise spending. Be smart about it. Be careful about buying something that seems inexpensive, but it's poor quality. And so be smart. Number 11, how about this? Eliminate the devourer. And we talked a little bit about this already. Part of the thing you've got to learn to do as being a good steward is to, yes, you've got certain outgo, you got certain income, but listen, if your resources, if there's holes in the bottom of it and everything you put in just keeps falling out, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm just talking about the concept here, then you know what, until you plug the holes, you're not going to make any ground. Now, a lot of ways to do that is to, what we've already talked about, by eliminating the devourer. And the only way the Bible tells us to do that in Malachi chapter 3, we were there a couple of weeks ago, is to make sure that you're doing it God's way, so God's on your side. And by the way, eliminating the devourer is God's job. Amen? And I'm telling you, I promise you, again, I'm not saying it for my sake. I'm saying it for your sake and for your own peace of mind and for your financial well-being. Listen, folks, you got to obey God when it comes to giving your tithes and offerings. You just got to do it. Amen? And if you will, God will then eliminate the devourer. And then last of all, let me just give you this. Prepare for or pay off a calamity or catastrophic financial setback. Okay? So here's the thing. I don't care how good of a steward you are, and you may have everything done exactly right. Nobody can prepare for everything. Okay? You know, sometimes things happen, folks, just because we live in a sin-cursed earth. I mean, think about these people that live, Christians, that you know live places like California, whose homes were destroyed by flooding or by wildfires or by landslides or, you know, a tornado comes through and just, you know, it changes your life in a catastrophic way. Okay? Anytime that happens, all right, you ought to ask yourself, is God trying to get my attention in some way? Okay? And listen, sometimes God will use catastrophe to try to ring our bell a little bit. Amen? And maybe God's trying to get our attention. So if you experience something like that, and maybe it's not something on that big of a scale, okay, that's a pretty extreme case, like the example I just gave. But any time that would be something catastrophic, some big unexpected thing it's a little bit beyond you, a little bit, you know, oh my goodness, this is going to be a stressful situation. Always ask yourself, is God trying to get my attention? If so, learn from your mistakes. Amen? Now listen, if something's going to cost you big once, don't make it cost you big twice. Okay, learn. Be smart. If possible, carry catastrophic insurance as a safety net. And now, listen, you got to be careful. You got to use wisdom. I mean, there's literally insurance for anything and everything. And if you wanted to, you could literally spend all of your abundance on just buying some insurance for something that may or may not happen, okay? And I'm saying use wisdom in this. There's a good balance to all this, okay? I know people that are both extremes of this. I mean, literally, they're the type that they have insurance for everything, okay? They got insurance for every little item. They got insurance for this case, for this case, for this case. Well, at some point, folks, where's this thing about trusting God come into play, okay? But on the other hand, I've also known people that, oh, if you have insurance, and there's, you have no faith at all. Well, then, bam, they get hit with an unexpected medical expense, and they got to file bankruptcy because they can't pay a $100,000 hospital bill. Okay? So I'm saying use wisdom. I believe, my opinion is, I'll tell you, Kate, I'll give you my opinion, all right? If you can have some kind of health insurance, you need to have something. Amen? Now, fortunately, a lot of folks, because of their job, will give them insurance, and that's a good thing. I mean, the medical industry in this country is just out of control. I mean, it's unbelievable what medical costs are like. And, you know, I mean, let's say you do have something that comes up. You know, let's say, God forbid, you get cancer. I mean, I'm going to tell you, folks, we're not talking about tens of thousands of dollars. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars for things like that. And so it's important to have some kind of health insurance, if possible. We already mentioned this earlier, but life insurance, especially you men, I'd encourage you as a man to have life insurance on yourself, okay? And have a way to, that your family could be taken care of if something unexpectedly would happen to you. By the way, nobody thinks it's going to happen to them.
Right.
Okay? I mean, nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks that, you know what, I could, you know, leave Earth tomorrow, especially if you're in the prime of your strength, the prime of your youth. But listen, that's in God's hands. You just don't know. So you ought to have some type of life insurance that your family's taken care of, so if something would happen to you, your wife can have peace of mind. Amen? And so prepare for some of that stuff just because of the things we have to deal with living on a sin-cursed earth. Now listen, I didn't cover everything when it comes to this thing of stewardship, but these are just a few basic principles that will help you be a good steward of the resources God gives you. Amen? And here's the thing. God wants us to be good stewards with the unrighteous mammon, because truth be told, Jesus said, if you're not faithful in that which is least, how can you be faithful in that which is much? How can God commit you to the true riches? Amen? And so truth be told, our stewardship is a reflection of how we handle the things of the Lord as well. So I pray these things I gave you this month as a help and a blessing. If you have more questions about some of this stuff, we can talk more of a one-on-one basis. And listen, folks, I don't claim to be an expert on all this, okay? I mean, you know, in my life, I've made mistakes here and there. But let's try to handle things the way God would have handle us according to His Word. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we